Welcome to today's episode. We have a special guest with us, Mr. Alex Mosca. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be back again.
Absolutely, man. And this is actually a special episode. We are welcoming in episode number 100 of the High Profit Event Show. This has been a super curated podcast over the last 2.5, almost 3 years now. And I'm so happy and grateful to have you on to honor you and your expertise in the event space world as our 100th guest. So happy to have you back on.
Excited and super grateful to also be here.
Yeah, you have helped dozens of leaders turn their live events into purpose-driven, high-converting profit engines. And, you know, you have helped your clients generate over $125 million with their events by helping them fill the rooms with high-quality people, making offers that are congruent and aligned, and walking away with hundreds of thousands in revenue, even without having to use gimmicky marketing or sleazy sales techniques. In fact, for our audience here, I personally attended your most recent event in Austin called the Event Profit Engine. And it was like being part of a high-level mastermind. There were really remarkable people there, including Evan Pagan, who you had speaking on stage and supporting you. And you really took the whole idea of a high-value, high-impact event to a whole new level. So for our audience here, if you're planning your first event or a retreat or mastermind or an enrollment event, or whatever the experience that you're wanting to create, this interview with Alex today is going to show you not only how to fill the room, but also how to get sponsors to take the risk off of your back, and also how to sell congruently from stage, ultimately resulting in an event that is going to be impactful and profitable. So let's dive right into this next episode. Welcome. Let's jump in. So let's crack the code, Alex, on how to fill events and sell with integrity.
Yeah, I'd say a great place to start, and even when I hear that my clients have done over $125 million in sales, that's obviously all if I add everything up of what's semi-trackable, that I still think about, okay, how the heck did that happen? And as I've really did my last event, the Event Profit Engine, a big opportunity for me to really synthesize everything that I've done over the past 15 years with live events. And there's a few key components that I think in this podcast specifically, which would be really great to go deeper into, because I think we're also at a really interesting space in time where the evolution of the coaching and training and high ticket service business as a whole is really like going through a shift right now. And I think the big shift is really going towards not quantity, but truly it's focused on quality. Especially with how fast artificial intelligence is going, the quality of our work, the quality of our marketing, the quality of our sales messages, and the quality of the experience that people have is going to be one of the most valuable things and one of the most valuable focuses as a leader that we can really pour our time and full energy into as well. So such a big part and a big first domino for us and what we help our clients with is to really optimize for who's the top 5% of your audience that is going to be the most engaged person at the event who is there and is really committed to getting the outcome, but also is a great fit for if you're selling a mastermind or a high-end coaching program, high-end services, that they're also a great fit to invest in that as well. So much of what I've taught for the past 15 years is really optimizing for that one single person. So it's getting back to the basics of who is the ideal client. And I'm sure if you're watching this or if you're doing events that you've gone through a process with ideal client, many, many times with every business coach or every business mastermind that you're a part of. And I think depth of how we really understand who the perfect prospect is and the perfect client is, the ability to really narrow it in, as Jesse Elder says, taking the focus from a floodlight to a laser beam of really making sure that the messages are specifically for the person, the experience when people come into our events, the offer we make from stage. The first domino is really making sure that the messaging is optimized for that one single person.
Beautiful, man. And speaking of that one single person, at your most recent event, the Event Profit Engine, who was that event built for?
So that event was built for coaches, consultants, people who are leaders of masterminds. And also about half of our audience is already doing live events and is looking to really take their events to the next level to make them more impactful and also way more profitable. and the other half has a high ticket offer that has a track record of success. Usually been in business for at least 5 years. Revenue wise, they're doing anywhere from $500,000 to about 1.5 is like what I'd say like 75% of the audiences. Then we have the people who come in or who are part of our World Class Events Mastermind are usually doing around seven figures in the one to a three range. And they're really looking for how do they take their experiences, really take them to the next level, because they understand that the value of building an in-person community has never been more valuable given the world of AI that we're in now. And the value of human-to-human connection, I believe as good as AI is now, and it will continue to get better, the value of being in the right rooms with the right people, that is never going to actually go away.
I agree, man. I couldn't agree more than ever before. That is something that will either not get replaced by AI or be the last thing to get replaced by AI, is the value of being in community with other people and being in the room with other people. Yeah. In fact, I think it becomes even more valuable, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's not like straying away from AI. It's how do we integrate and how do we use AI to maximize the value of the in-person human-to-human connection?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I was lucky enough to be able to attend your last event in Austin. And it, as I mentioned in the preamble here, it really felt like a mastermind in motion. What was your original intention in design when you designed the event, and what made this one different from ones you've done in the past?
Yeah, so the initial vision shifted and changed, or if you've ran events before, that isn't super uncommon. I was going to have a business partner on the event, was one of my dear friends, also as event consulting, one of my top competitors. And the initial vision was for both of us to collaborate on the event, fill it with 150 to 250 people. We split everything. We split filling the room. And as we got into the different details of what our deal structure was, it just wasn't aligned. And we hired outside support because we shared at the start that our friendship was most important, and it just didn't work out. And it worked out the way that it was supposed to. But that big shift in what the vision was, that really shifted things, because I initially thought I'd have a business partner in it. I'd have half the responsibility. We'd be able to like really stick in our lanes. And so that shift happened about 45 days out from the event. So that big pivot, it really looked at where I was came face to face with, okay, I've already sold over six figures in sponsorship. We had at that point about 25 or 30 people who were already confirmed to attend. And so I was at a crossroads, which events oftentimes present crossroads for our evolution to make a choice of which path we choose. And so I had every reason to not do the event, to push it off, to push it further out. Well, I knew I could have those conversations with people. I could make it right. And I knew a big part of it for me was this bigger vision of really not just creating the top event consulting company. That's kind of like, it's not super important to me, but what it is to really have an in-person community for other leaders of live events. Because as I've ran events for 15 years, I never had a true community that was just focused on that. I've been in all these $25,000, $100,000 masterminds, great entrepreneurs, but the focus was never just on live events. And there's a lot of nuance to it. Like if you do a webinar or an online training, online workshop, if your offer doesn't convert, that sucks. But it doesn't suck nearly as bad as if you're in a room of 50, 100, 200 people and you make an offer from stage and that doesn't convert, and you have $100,000 that you've invested in the event, you have your team's payroll or whatever is really up against if the event is financially successful or not. Like it's a different level of pressure that's there. So the in-person community component of people who are really committed to bring people in person, I wanted to continue to make that vision a reality. And so that's how the shift really happened. And it happened really soon, 6 weeks out from the event. It was going through my own process. I reached out to also my friends, to my trusted peers and community, and to really have everyone rally around making sure that the event was successful. That was a huge part of what actually made it. And the people that were there were just absolutely incredible. Like I've ran masterminds that are more curated, 15 to 20 people inside of my wife and I's home in Austin, where we have like a space to host events and masterminds. And I've had like really awesome people who I look up to, respect in those events, but I didn't expect to have 75 of that same quality of entrepreneur to say yes to also come. So that was like a huge shift for me of where I had a limiting belief that I could only fill a room of 10, 15, 20 of those types of like peers, and to have 75 people come in was just like, wow, like this is, there's something here.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, man, to be able to walk in the room. And I recognized several people, of course, and met several new people, but that was definitely a high level experience. And I imagine that you're going to build on that. I can't even imagine what your next one's going to be like, even more high level. And by the way, I did attend a previous event that you hosted just over, I think almost 2 years ago now. Can't believe it's been that long. And we actually talked about it in our last interview. And the consistency there was super high level as well. So yeah, I see like you have a pattern of bringing a really high level people together at your events. And I can only imagine that the next one, which I think our audience is going to have an opportunity to register for as well with some kind of really great incentive. Dude, I can't wait to the next one. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, same. It goes back to what I initially said. Like if you have the right people in the room, it takes off so much of the stress or different frustrations that we oftentimes have as event leaders and making offers from stage. If you're selling like a mastermind or a group program, the actual community is a part of the value of the offer. So if you have the right people in the room, the conversion for your offer, it goes up significantly because the value is built into the event. So again, just going back to, if you like take the 80-20, or even I watched the video from Dan Martell, the like 95-5, that 5% that makes 95% of the difference of how successful an event is getting the right people there.
Awesome, man. Speaking of getting the right people there, you also had Eben Pagan there on stage for, I mean, he was in the room the whole time and on stage and collaborate with you on your offer. How did that come about?
Yeah. So as I was in the transition of my old business partner, my old potential business partner, and to be clear, we're still like great friends. That business relationship, it ended. We both felt really solid about it. And I was really like in my shit. Of like, okay, I need to rewrite the sales page. I need to like rewrite all this stuff, have all these conversations. And Eben and I have been friends for years now. He and his wife run some different retreats for couples. So Jennifer and I have gone to their stuff. They've been great friends. And he's always been super generous with his time of just saying, hey, like, I know you guys are really connected in the industry, but if you ever want me to look at anything, like would really like, would love to help. So as I was going through it, Eben and I had been literally trying to go on a walk for like 3 months, but our schedule didn't line up. So I just reached out to him on a random Monday and I was like, hey, like, I know you've offered to look at something. I'm like really struggling with this new sales page that I'm writing. Would you be open to hopping on a call? And we hopped on that call. And what's funny is on that call, he literally didn't know that I did all the consulting stuff with events. Like he knew that I was in the like high ticket coaching space. He knew I ran the Abundance Amplifier event. That's like if a music festival and a business mastermind had a baby, but he didn't know the depth of the event consulting that I did. And so as he was like helping me with the sales page, he just kept interviewing me of like, wait, how did you do that? Wait, what was your first event like? How do you discover this? And as he just really extracted my story, which was going to help with the sales page, he was like, man, like, after a couple of calls, he's like, hey, I know that you had a business partner on this. Since that door closed, has another one open? Like, are you stressed about doing it on your own? Are you excited? And I was like, yes, Eben, all of the above. And so just after we were in collaboration and he was just such a huge support in helping me get the second version of the sales page done, we kept having those conversations and it was energy rich. And we're like, all right, is there a possibility here? And then fast forward after the event, we're have an incredible mastermind together where he's leading the marketing component and everything with artificial intelligence. He's leading that component of it as well. So it worked out even more magically than I could have even just dreamt up on my own.
That's perfect, man.
Dr. Joe Dispenza's, the unknown mystical future was definitely present there.
Hey, I was going to ask you, what surprised you the most or what turned out better than you expected? Or yeah, it sounds like that could have been one of them. Yes. And anything else that maybe turned out better than expected?
I mean, with just Eben in general, like I've looked up to Eben for over a decade. He's such a legend in this space and I've consumed so many of his like info product. I've watched his launches. And so just having him in my corner and when I didn't believe in myself, having his belief in me was just extraordinary because it was not a small task to just make that big shift was like in partnership at BBAT first, that I took everything over. So to rewrite the sales page, the affiliate copy, to have conversations with all of our sponsors, it was not a small task at all to really do it with care and with integrity. And so to have his support and knowing that I had a trusted partner who had the best interest of myself and the event there, just having that alone really freed up so much of the unconscious limiting beliefs that I had come back up again. So I would say that was one of the most valuable things for myself.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And having him on the back end helping fulfill on the mastermind with AI and marketing, that's world class. And here,
I would say so. Definitely say so. It's wild.
That's so cool, man. Congratulations on that. And when it comes to filling the room, which is normally top of mind for most people listening to the show and most people running events, it's, hey, how do I fill the room? As you mentioned, you had 75 super high quality people at your event, most of them business owners, entrepreneurs, seven-figure, eight-figure entrepreneurs, decision makers. That's no small feat in today's world. How did you go about doing it? And what's working right now that most people overlook in your perspective?
So what I found is one of the most overlooked things with filling events with high quality people is going back to the basics oftentimes gets missed. I find I get caught up in this myself sometimes as I want the best piece of content or the best email or the best ad or the sales video or the sales page. And all those things are important. But what holds value in selling tickets to events is really the personal connection the audience has with you or with an affiliate or someone who is going to recommend your event. Like example with our relationship, we've been friends for years now. I can read the best ad with the best copy with the best sales page, and that's never going to hold nearly as much weight as if you reach out to me and you're like, hey, Alex, here's this event you should come to. Here's why. That recommendation from you is always going to hold more weight than even the best crafted sense of marketing that I find online. So for me with filling events, I don't think it's one strategy. I think three marketing drivers are important to have with each event. There's one primary one. So for example, to keep it super simple, the value of reach out is also very overlooked and incredibly important with someone who is also playing life and business at a high level, maybe has a $500,000 or $1 million or a $2 million business, that person's busy. So the personal touch there is important. And so the personal invites, if you're hosting the event and it's not the sexiest thing, it definitely takes effort. You have to like put in the work and make it personal for them too. So that I think is one of the most overlooked things. It definitely takes more work, but the energy invested into those personal relationships it makes a huge difference from whether you're going to have people who are really qualified, who you know, or people who are not. So that's one component of it. And then when you stack on top of that, social media content, organic content, if they're on your email list. So I like to stack both of those because I'll have my reach out messages. Facebook is one of the main platforms that I use. And so using my Facebook posts and my direct reach outs on Facebook, so that when someone sees messages from me that I'm like sending them a direct message, they'll read that. And then I'll do a different post about the event. And then I'll do another post and that gets them to like respond and to reach out. So it's not just a one-size-fits-all strategy. The World Class Events Mastermind that I run as well is really designed for all of the event leaders to come together to share what's the best of what's working now. Because I found over 15 years that filling events, it's a moving target. And that's totally fine. It's just a lot harder to figure out on your own. So I find that with each person, it's a little different. But the value of personal reach out, personal invitation, that's never going to go away. And so if you can combine that with more automated systems like social posts, email, some ads maybe, that the combination of those is what is going to attract that best person and making sure that the messaging is really dialed in again for that top 5% of the audience who you know is going to be a great energy for the room and great fit for the offer at the event.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. And I'm just thinking back on me going to the event. You gave me a personal outreach. And at the time, I wasn't quite sure if I was able to make it due to scheduling. And I remember like talking to a few other people who were also going, and all of a sudden it turned into fear of missing out. It's like, well, all these cool people are going, well, I got to figure out how to get there. And I made it there for the second half of the event, but I was like, whatever it took, I had to get there at least to be part of it in any way that I could. But I did your personal outreach plus the other people that were going, that was definitely magnetic. But great to know that you have a mastermind that actually constantly works with people and sharing what's working right now when it comes to filling events. So for our audience listening here, if you're interested in learning more about Alex's mastermind, that could be an opportunity for you as well. I encourage you to reach out and connect, or just come to the next live event that Alex is hosting and you can learn more about it there and see if it's a fit for you. Alex, you mentioned that you use AI tools as part of your process. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a overview of like what's working for you with AI and how you're able to help event leaders leveraging AI?
So when it comes to AI, I look at what are my clients' biggest constraints, the biggest challenges that they need help solving? And then how do I use AI to assist in solving that constraint? So as you know, as we talked about, as I would imagine with most of these episodes, you're going to ask the guest of how to fill the room, because it's what the top of mind challenges for event leaders. Even if the real problem is something else, it's usually top of mind. So if that's the biggest constraint that my clients have, I've looked at, okay, how do I use AI to assist with that process? So even though I've, on Facebook specifically, that's been a seven-figure revenue stream for my company 4 out of the past like 6 years. And so I've taught how to create social content, how to really craft them in a way to be able to generate leads and sales, how to sell tickets through an offer doc or a sales page. So I've taught all that stuff. I've gotten really, really great feedback of my ability to teach it in a simple way. And when I look at the number of my clients who've actually done the work to study how to write copy, who are going to read the books that I recommend around direct response marketing, the ones who are like prioritizing it in their calendar and actually doing it, it was such a small percentage. Even though I would host online workshops, we'd give them time on the workshop to write it. And it was just a really big lift, because most coaches, that's a segment of my market, we'll take them for example, didn't get into the coaching industry to become a really great copywriter and direct response marketer. Usually, that's not why they got into it. And so I looked at, okay, like there's a big constraint here, and there's a big break in my client base of my clients who are filling rooms with 20, 25 people versus 50, 75, or 100. It really came down to their ability to write really powerful copy in their social platforms and with their emails. So I looked at, how do I use AI to really train it so it doesn't write like what we see so much now from ChatGPT? But I've tracked every post, or excuse me, my team has tracked every post I've written since 2017. And so we've taken my top performing posts, which have sold everything from, you know, $97 virtual event ticket to a $25,000 like 7 in Costa Rica. We've taken all of my content, all of my sales posts, all my offer docs, we've trained different AI tools to be able to help my clients get their marketing to, we can get to a 7 out of 10, or sometimes even more like an 8.5 out of 10 in minutes. So my clients now, their job becomes to edit versus to write it from scratch. I've just found that if I can get them something to work, even if it's a 5 out of 10, like that gets them going. They're like in the game versus staring at a blank Google Doc, which I've spent probably hundreds of hours staring at blank Google Docs of what the heck am I going to write next. And so I look at AI in these tools of how do I help solve the biggest constraints for my clients so that they can get in the arena and get the result as fast as possible. So last thing I'll share on that is also from a coaching and a facilitation perspective. Now my work, we have data, we have like assets that I can help to dial in the copy and the messaging. And so I'm not just coaching on like, hey, you can do it, write the post, where now it's like, okay, there's these tools that are getting their marketing campaigns like to a pretty solid place where even if we didn't know it, would get a way better result than them sitting in front of a doc trying to do it themselves. So all that to say, with AI tools, I look at what are my client's biggest constraints and how do I use these tools to assist them with getting that constraint solved as quickly as possible.
Remarkable, man. I'm glad I asked that question. That's such a powerful component of what you're doing for clients and event leaders. Yeah. Next question. I actually have someone personally that I told you about who is planning on doing a 20-person-ish event in the next 90 days, and it's their first one, right? So for someone planning, let's say, a 20 to maybe 50-person event in the next 90 days, what would be the number one tip to fill it with the right people that you could give?
Number one is you need to be clear on what the vision of the event is. Like, you got to be clear on what the numbers look like. What's the reason why you're doing it? I find that a lot of event leaders, their first or their second or third one is like, I went to this great event, Tony Robbins, Funnel Hacking Live. I want to do an event. That's great for just like fast action. And I find those who do it in that way end up building something that they don't even want to build in the first place. So knowing the reason why you want to do the event and what the vision is super important. Example would be, is it to sell more of what your current offer already is? Maybe you have a $5,000 to $10,000 program for 90 days at your core offer, and you want to do an event to just capture that section of your market that isn't buying from your book a call funnel or from your content. And you want to bring them into an experience that will move them closer to make a buying decision. That could be one. I would say about half of my clients who really take a big quantum leap, like where their annual revenue is usually doing a 2 or 3X, is they already have a proven high ticket offer, say that $5,000 to $10,000 90 day program, but they don't have a ultra premium offer like a $25,000 or $50,000 mastermind or coaching program. So to do an event with their best clients who have already paid them $5,000 or $10,000, to bring them in person to then make them an offer for their next step, their next evolution in their journey, I find that that's also like a really solid way to be able to do an event, to launch it, and to really just take your best clients and to move them into a higher ticket program. So those are just two examples of different options for the vision of doing it. But if you're not clear on why you're actually running the event or why you want to do your first one or what the outcome is, then I find that all sorts of stuff can get in the way, especially because the vision needs to be a filtration system for the decision-making process when there's a lot of moving parts when hosting your first event.
That's critical, man. Thank you for sharing that. Have a clear vision for that event, and then that becomes the decision-making point or process for everything else that you make. My personal experience, the same thing. First one, I was like, we just got to do something. And then from there, got more clear on the vision for each one moving forward and refine and refine and refine. But yeah, thank you for that hot tip, man. Start with the vision.
One quick example of filtration of the decision of what you'll make is if the outcome is to sell more of your current high ticket program or to launch an ultra premium offer, then that's the outcome. And then looking at outside speakers who want to come in, who you may want to come in, you'll want to look at, okay, does this speaker fit into the outcomes for the event? So maybe they don't necessarily help you sell your offer, but they're a sponsor that is going to help cover the expenses. So that's aligned to the vision. Oftentimes I find, especially for people's first event, they're looking at, okay, I'm going to have this other speaker come in and this speaker is going to help sell tickets. That's one of the biggest myths of doing events and having the right speakers, or they're going to promote their social media audience and we're going to sell dozens of tickets. That very, 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 very rarely ever happens. So again, when you're clear on the vision, what the outcomes are, what the best experience is for the attendees, and that's going to help fill what your offer is there, then you have a filtration system for what types of speakers are going to be a great fit for the event or not.
Amen, brother. Yeah. It's like you've done this once or twice before.
A couple times.
Yeah, clearly. I agree. That's one of the most common myths that people sometimes they talk to. They come in and they, I'm going to get these affiliates or these speakers to fill my event. I'm like, okay. It doesn't typically play out that way. Speaking of sponsors, though, you brought up a great point about sponsors and having it align with the vision of the event. You and I talked about the green room about this. I think that's something that you uniquely have a tremendous amount of experience with is lining up sponsors that are in alignment with the outcomes of the event and de-risking the event in that way. Yeah. Could you share with us maybe just a few minutes, 3 minutes of your best practices when it comes to getting sponsors to support the event?
So when it comes to sponsorships, if you have an audience you have a qualified audience that is going to come in person, it's such a valuable asset. And most event leaders don't realize how valuable of an asset that is. Because even if you're watching this and you want to speak on stages at events, if someone has 100 people and they're asking to come speak, I mean, who doesn't want to do that if it's in front of the right room? So that audience is really, really valuable. And it's been such a big strategy for me at my events, because I've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in sponsorship. Like, I've invested multiple five figures in a sponsorship that I'm going to go to Costa Rica this week, and I'm going to speak and sell and make an offer there. And so since I've also been using sponsorship as a main part of my model personally for over a decade now, I just have the experience in what it's like to use as a strategy for myself. So I know how to show up to someone else's event, how to add a ton of value to the audience, to how to make the host look good, and how to generate leads and sales without taking away from the event host's main offer and their main outcomes for the event. So since I have that lived experience, and I've had very bad experiences, had very good experiences. So when it comes to my own events, if I'm selling a sponsorship, which my event sponsorships are some of the most expensive in the space, like a booth is going to start around $9,000 or $10,000. Speaking spots usually start around anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000. Our top tiers are above six figures. It's not cheap. And as a part of what I offer with my sponsorships, I offer consulting to make sure the actual sales process, the lead generation process, the message is going to be a great fit, because I know that sponsors for the right fit people, I mean, I look at those as a three-year relationship, because I know that if I can go into every one of my bigger events, which my expenses are going to usually be north of six figures, if I can get that covered from sponsors and they're a right fit, like my audience already needs, which is also a big part of it, where a ton of people have reached out to me to invest in sponsorship for my events. And I take maybe 5 to 10% of people that reach out, because I know that I could sell a sponsorship to anyone because I have the audience. Like, my audience is super qualified, doing 500,000 to 1.5 million, 50 to 100 of those types of people. Like, how much money would they have to spend on Facebook ads or on YouTube ads to be able to get in front of that many of the right qualified people? I know the value of that. I've spent a ton of money on ads, ton of money on sponsorships. And so since I have that lived experience, I know that I'm not looking for a ton of sponsors. I'm just looking for the right fit ones who really know how to serve that audience. And so for you and your events, really, again, it goes back to the top 5%. Once you get that first domino dialed, your event is filled with the right people, and you can look for sponsors specifically who know how to serve that ideal client. And the value of that person who knows how to serve, in my case, the coach, the consultant that's further along in their journey, has a track record, is doing $500,000 to $1 million plus. Like, that's a specific type of client that I know a lot of my sponsors have been trying their head against the wall to get in front of. So a little longer than 3 minutes, but that's more of how I think about it. I think the big piece is I've done it myself. I'm investing in sponsorships myself. So my level of certainty and also lived experience of that process, it makes it so much easier for me to attract people in. I give them the coaching and training to make sure that they're also getting the outcomes and the ROI that they're looking for as well.
That's great, man. I think that's golden, what you shared there. That's going to be worth go back and re-listening to just that section alone. But don't worry, for our listeners, this whole episode is being transcribed, and we're going to have show notes and summaries and all sorts of things that people can go back and reference, which is tremendous gold you've shared with us so far. I'm acknowledging that we still have to get to speak about selling from stage without feeling salesy, and we're coming up a little bit on our scheduled time. Do you think you can touch base on that in just a few minutes so that we can talk about your upcoming event?
Yeah, absolutely. So when a potential client comes to me and they want me to look at what their mastermind offer is from stage, for example, they usually send me, all right, here's the last half an hour of my pitch. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Like, all right, here's the full 90 minutes of my testimonial panel, content before the pitch, into the pitch. I was like, that's not how it works. What do you mean? My belief, my context for this is the sales process starts when someone shows up at registration. It's an experience arc that is all building towards the offer, or it's building away from the offer. And so I look at the event as the whole experience to help someone make a decision to say yes or to say no. So to not look at it that way, I think a lot of event hosts are leaving a ton of money on the table because they're just so focused on the perfect pitch or using NLP or some weird persuasion tactic because they think that's what's going to create the conversion. which, yes, you have to make the offer clear. You have to have stage presence. There is a framework you can follow. Many people teach the five-step process to sell from stage. I think that's fine. And without looking at the event as the whole enrollment experience, I think you're missing out on a huge way, because the way that I look at it is offer, the sequence of the offer and where it goes in the event and the types of content that you share throughout, it needs to be strategic in a way where it effortlessly sets up the offer. And so I always shoot for myself and for my clients that the audience is asking you of what you're selling. How do we continue this? And so if the audience isn't asking you for the offer, there's a big gap there, a big opportunity to be able to structure the content, the process in a way to where the audience is asking to be sold to. So I think just at a high level, that's one of the biggest misconceptions of just focusing on like what's the pitch in the presentation, which yes, is important, but without looking at the entire experience as an enrollment process, I think people are leaving a ton of money by not doing it.
Agreed, man. Yeah, it's not just looking at the pitch. It's not just handling the objections. Everything goes upstream from there. Thank you for that. Thanks for demystifying that for our audience, which oftentimes can get focused on those sort of things. So let's talk about what's next. Would you be willing to give us a little bit of a sneak peek for your upcoming event?
Yeah, so with Event Profit Engine, it's a part training, it's a part mastermind, and it's really a part, or the whole thing is an experience on events. Like to do the event on events, then I know that it's a tall order because people aren't just going through my content. They're literally watching everything that I'm doing and how I'm doing it, which if you're an event leader, I know that every event that I go to, I'm watching that as well. I'm like a participant experience, but I'm also looking at how are they doing what they're doing. So from a high level, we're looking at, okay, what are the best practices that have been consistent over $125 million in client revenue? And then how is that applicable now at this point in time? So what used to work in selling tickets to events, selling offers from stage 5 years ago, definitely is very different than what's working right now. So each event that I do, there's a new theme. It's updated with not just what I'm learning from filling my events, but all my clients in my world-class events mastermind, all my private clients like Amber Spears and her bigger events. I'm really synthesizing, okay, what is actually working now? And then I'm also bringing in my peers, my community, because even though I know I have a ton of experience in doing this, there's people that are doing it in more effective ways than myself even. My clients' offers sometimes convert even higher than mine. My clients are filling events with hundreds and hundreds of people. And my events are usually around 50 to 150 people. So I know that for me, in the event game, I have a lot of stuff figured out, but I definitely know I don't have everything figured out. So my events are designed to bring together a community of event leaders to really have the practice of being community. Because I've found leading masterminds, leading events for over a decade myself, that there was no community to also plug into. What I would do is if I was having a challenge or a struggle, I would call up some of my top competitors and be like, hey man, I know we're competitors. You run big events. I'm having this big challenge where I put $100,000 on the line. I thought I'd have 100 tickets sold by now, 20. Would you mind hopping on a call? And every single time I've done that, or maybe not every time, I'd say over 90% of the time, that person has reached back out. So the event itself is a practice of in community, because especially for the coach, consultant, mastermind leader that's doing $500,000 to $1.5 million, they oftentimes are disconnected from what it's like to be in that practice of being in community, of what they're leading their clients through. So it's a very meta way to go through experience to really extract the best of what's working, what they like for my events. And it's usually they're only looking for the millimeter shifts that is going to really take their events to the next level of impact and also make their offer and the profitability of their event go up as well. So that's more of a high level of what the event's about. Let me know, Rudy, if it's anything specific that you would also like me to dive into.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things would be fun to hear from you is for our audience listening to this, how do they know this event is for them?
Yeah, so I would say it's really for two different types of entrepreneurs. The first one is if you're already hosting events and you're really looking to take them to the next level. So you're looking to fill the room with higher quality attendees. You want your offers from stage to convert more in a way that's authentic and congruent to how you would sell from stage. And then you also are looking for your experience of when someone buys, they just don't drop out after 6 months to a year, but they become clients for years. That's really the three main pillars of what we focus on at the event. And that's those three pillars are a moving target as the market evolves, as our whole industry evolves as well. So that's one ideal client of who we're looking for. Those who are already running events want to make them more impactful, more profitable. The second type of person is if they already have a proven high ticket offer. So again, whether they are selling a $5,000 to $10,000 90-day core offer or they already do have a mastermind, but if they haven't done an event yet, we give them the complete system, the complete framework from A to Z on how they can run their next six or seven figure live. So it's really those two different audiences we serve incredibly well.
Awesome, brother. Thank you for sharing that. And for our audience here, as you're listening in, if you're serious about running a highly profitable and highly impactful live event, and you want to learn how to more effectively fill your event, more effectively get sponsors for your event, more congruently sell from your event, sell higher paid offers, make more profit from your event, I invite you to come to Alex's next event, to go to register for Alex's next event. There's actually going to be a link here somewhere near the episode in the show notes. Go to the show notes. In fact, there's going to be a promo code there as well that's going to give you a special incentive pricing because you're listening to this podcast, because you're here, part of our community here. So you have a special seat saver discount just specifically for our audience. Alex, any kind of final recommendations or word advice you have for our audience who are considering registering and coming to your next event?
Yeah, I would share the main thing is if you want to do events, don't do it alone. I made that mistake for years and years and years. And the value of being together in person isn't going away. I truly believe, and if I look back at the past 15 years of being in this industry, and really since I was 21 years old, I'm 36 now, and where I see the future going, is it's integrating AI and it's live events and experiences. So whether you want to come learn from me and from my community or not, do not do this alone. Like, find your community, continue to watch this podcast, and really look at what are people doing to enhance the quality of their experience in their marketing, in their sales process, in their service delivery, because the quality of what we do is going to be the most important asset where AI can really help move things along, but that personalization and the human essence of what the creativity is and the level of breakthrough that we can create for our clients, that quality is going to be the most impactful thing. So making sure that we're doubling that and do not do it alone.
I couldn't agree more. Do not do it alone. What's this? The saying goes, if you want to go far, you go alone. If you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go with others. You go with a team. Alex, thank you, brother, for being a guest on our show. This has been a super special 100th episode. You delivered tremendous, tremendous value for us today. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.